All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. This, of course, is the Film Drunk Frotcast. My name is Ben. We have most of the crew here this evening. We do not have super blogger Vince. We don't know if he's doing all right. We hope so. He's in London right now. We do have Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
What happened to the music?
That
are we going to put that in later?
That gets added in post. Wow. Yeah. If you're so God. Brett probably heard it because Brett's in the computer.
I didn't hear any music.
Uh-oh. You may.
But I will in post.
You will.
When you add it in, I'll hear it in my computer ears.
So this reality will turn back on itself, and then Brett will say that he did, in fact, hear the music, right?
Yep. Folds back on itself.
I'll just proceed as if I always heard
music. So no one's ever going to hear this because the reality will have come back and smooth this. Wow.
Correct.
Guys, I'm on acid.
In which case.
If we can get into a True Detective in a minute, but Matthew McConaughey was kind enough to explain how time works.
It is a flat circle. Right?
That was very kind of him.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a regular and favorite, at least one of my favorites, Laramie Legal. We're going to Skype him in a little bit. We're going to talk about RoboCop, the remake. We can talk about the original as well. Even Brett saw it. I saw it. Laramie, of course, saw it because he sees every movie. Brendan did not, but he doesn't care.
I don't give a shit.
I
watched the original RoboCop again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Movie. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah. It is really good. It holds up really well, too.
Yeah.
It holds the test of time. We got a pretty funny clip that Brendan had actually seen on The American Cops of an Australian dude getting pulled over for drink driving, as they say.
Yep.
And then House of Cards is returned, but Brendan doesn't watch that.
I'll go take a piss or something while you guys are talking about that.
Well,
you haven't watched this season, or you don't watch it at all?
I haven't watched it. It's on the list. I will definitely get to it at some point, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
The next 15 to 20 years.
I'm just worried that I'm worried that it will become one of those things where it's like there's so much pressure to do it that you just never end up going through with it.
Well, and then the worry is it has to be spectacular. Right. Otherwise, it won't hold up.
I'm just going to get pissed at all you guys.
Do you guys notice being internet connected that the pressure to talk about it is ridiculous? Like, I'm like, you need to watch right now so I can tell you about what I think. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Or is that just me?
Yeah. No, that's true.
No,
I feel a weird internet pressure to get it all down as fast as I can so that I can immediately spew it all back up in someone else's face.
Well, I wouldn't say there's pressure. It's more like a TV addiction where they, for those of you who don't watch House of Cards, it's on Netflix. They release all of the episodes right away. So season 2 just came out on Friday, all 13 of them. It is very difficult to not watch the next one, as I'm sure people have done. Brendan, I'm sure you've done that with other TV shows that you watched after they aired.
One time when it rained, my fiance and I watched Orange is the New Black. We like got delivery, and we spent 10 hours watching all of Orange is the New Black.
It's hard.
I don't like the binging. I like to do one a night.
So like House of Cards, you said you're on episode 5 or 6, so you've done about...
I'm waiting on episode 5. I did something last night, but yeah. So I'm watching one a night most nights.
Pretty impressive. I do not.
There's a lot of good TV on right now, and
there
I don't
is.
Need to just shove it all in my eyeballs.
I know, but it's just hard to stop. You know, it's like 1 a.m. It's like, you know what? I will watch another one.
I binged the first season of Homeland like a couple weeks ago.
And you hated it?
Yeah, and I hated it. And I was watching it. I was watching it on my laptop, and my fiance was like, wow, you're like really into this show. And I'm like, no, I fucking hate it. And she's like, why do you keep watching it? I'm like, well, I can't just stop watching it now.
That's the best part, is that you're pot committed, essentially.
Yeah.
So you can't, even if you wanted to, you can't just stop at like episode 3.
Well, I had to see what was going to happen, you know, after he visited Gettysburg and got fitted for the suicide vest. I was like, well, I got to see what happens.
I might as well finish this out.
Right.
Even though I hate it.
Yeah. And, they never changed the opening credits. That might be the worst opening credits in the history of television.
It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Homeland? I'm not sure I remember it.
It looks like a bad 90s cop drama.
Yeah, it looks like an Alice in Chains video.
That's pretty. Yeah, it could definitely be an Alice in Chains video, or like Blind Melon or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, before we get to everything, first, want to thank everyone. We do have some subscribers, so I want to just thank them. Help
your subscriptions help pay the bills for the Fraudcast.
They do. It's true. So I appreciate that. If you are not subscribing, you'd like to, just go to fraudcast.com and you'll see in the store. There's a couple different options, $1, $4, $10, no difference besides your generosity. So thanks, everyone, for that. We can get into the one thing about House of Cards is, so the second season, I already finished it, didn't quite hold up to the first one. First one's awesome. Brett, what have you thought so far?
I've been really impressed with the first four episodes. I think they stepped up the density of the program, which I really like. And I think that's entirely based on the fact that it's like made for not airing on broadcast. Like, I think the moment that people kind of started building shows that are watched digitally, they could pack a lot more shit in because they're not worried about losing anyone. Which I really, really like. Scene to scene, they're not holding any hands and they just sort of like plow through. And if you missed it, that's cool. Just rewind it. You're getting it through your computer anyway. And I really like that that's a trend in like narrative.
Yeah, that's changed TV overall. Even I would say my favorite shows are either something like House of Cards or mostly on HBO.
HBO is doing it too, even though their bread and butter is still sending it over the air at a set time every night.
But they're big on HBO on demand. I mean, they're big on they're big on you don't have if you want to watch it the first time possible. Here's when you watch it, but you can rewatch it. We put all our seasons online. It's definitely missed season whatever 4 or 3 of Game of Thrones, you can go back and watch all of them.
I'm planning on watching House of Cards. I'm going to go in the other room and play Threes.
No, we won't.
Spoilers.
Yeah, we won't spoil it because there's definitely
we won't spoil it.
There's definitely spoilers.
Yeah, the whole season's very spoilery.
Yeah, it's very, very spoilery. I mean, similar. If you liked something like Homeland, there's definitely spoilers there. Brennan is not a fan, but
I couldn't get past Homeland. The first 4 episodes of Homeland. I watched it on Showtime. At my in-law's house, and I was just like, wow, I don't care about this at all.
It was awful, and I needed that like resolution, but I was right with you. I was like, I think Vince was like, no, just go through the, and like, it's amazing how many people will tell you like, oh, you have to watch it, and like, I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm like 3 or 4 episodes deep, and I don't really like it, and everyone's like, dude, just keep watching. And I kept watching.
You know what happens is continuity gets its little like Hellraiser hooks into your brain and then pulls off your face and then it sticks in a new face. Because your brain's only wired to keep like 21 people alive in it at any one point. And it's just like, why don't we just start substituting some of those college friends with some fictional characters? You're going to like them a lot better. You're worried about what happens next to people that don't exist and you don't care about.
Right.
I definitely wouldn't put it into the absolute must watch category. I enjoyed it. It's gotten progressively sillier and worse as the seasons have gone on.
I watched two guys get in an argument about it from my perspective, where I was talking to two guys who really like it, two guys I work with, and they're like, oh man, you don't like Homeland? Like, you just got to keep, you got to give it another shot. And I'm like, I've seen a full third of all the episodes, and I can safely say that I think it is just a horrendous TV show with god awful acting and writing.
If you get to halfway and continue watching, you've officially lost. You're ahead of the Vegas odds by quitting at a third.
Right.
Like, once you pass 55, the sunk cost fallacy tells you you are a failure.
That's right. And I was like, I can't stand the family. Like, every time it cuts to family life, I just want to rip my fucking hair out. And someone's like, dude, you just got to stick with it. And then the other guy was like, no, did you hear what he just said? Like, season 2 is all about his family. He's going to fucking hate it. And I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate someone like looking out for me here.
I think the pressure that I'm feeling with like the House of Cards binge watch is the same thing when a show people like ends and everyone's just so fucking desperate for a new show to tweet about that they'll accept anything that's like moderately above average. where they're just, oh God, I just want something to talk about.
Well, I had a similar experience where I tried several episodes of Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. and just didn't like it. I didn't really like the characters and people, best show ever. You're just missing. You got to give it some more time. And I was sort of in the same boat as Brendan, where I just thought I pulled the ripcord. I didn't enjoy it. 12 more hours of it is not going to magically turn me into loving this show that I don't like. Where it's the same thing. How much time do you have to spend?
Right.
I feel like I lost a Breaking Bad because I powered through like the fifth season and I still don't know how it ends. Maybe you should just tell me how it ends so I can get that fucking monkey off my shoulder. I don't think I'll ever go back and watch the last season and a half. I just don't care at all.
Well, that's where Wikipedia comes in, and you can just quickly scan through.
I know. I'm just trying to see like how long I can exist as a person not knowing what the ending to Breaking Bad is.
Considering that
if I can just live my life never finding out.
Considering you've watched almost the whole thing.
Good luck deleting your life from the internet.
I know. I haven't yet. I haven't stumbled across it. I'm sure now I'll get the malicious people actually targeting me for spoilers.
Well, getting to a show that we all actually watch, True Detective, continues to be a tour de force. Brett, yeah. You're doing a bang-up job as the consultant to Matthew McConaughey's character.
I think they do just as good of a job with action as they do with the setup. And I was more into the setup than I thought. I thought the setup is so perfectly done that I'm going to have a hard time when they actually cut to the action.
So definite spoiler alert for all this. But the scene where they kill the meth guys, Reggie Ledoux and the other big guy, oh, man, that was awesome.
The moment their story diverges from what's being shown on the screen, I got super fucking giddy. Where it's just like, oh,
that
shit, because
really
they've been building to this.
Rad.
And then it immediately, like, they start, you find out they're just totally fucking lying.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then now how they progress further and further and sort of have gotten through, sort of went through that 7-year stretch pretty quickly. And they showed you McConaughey dating that woman and sort of that stretch of Woody Harrelson roller skating and getting back with his family. Hey, just for all you out there, if you're having marital problems, go roller skating. Clearly that solves all issues. Yeah, that solves all problems.
It's wholesome. You get on those little shoes with wheels and you just feel skate off into a glorious sunset.
Who
just
doesn't
with your family
enjoy
wearing hand in hand?
There's little wheels on your shoes.
And maybe like one, the last member, you can like catapult them into the sunset. You're like, come on, it's your turn. You just like get them swinging, you know? You guys ever do that?
So short tangent. I was coming back from lunch at the office the other day, and I was walking down the street, you know, middle of like the financial district, and this dude was just cruising down the street on rollerblades. He was an old guy. He was probably like in his 50s, and he was just cruising down the street in his rollerblades, and he just had so much swag. I just kind of like I pointed at him and kind of nodded, and he nodded back. And this girl I work with was like, what was that all about? And I just went, game, recognize game.
You got to recognize rollerblade swag.
Game, recognize game. True Detective. So I'm interested to see sort of the central narrative of, or not the narrative, the structure is.
Yeah,
you know,
it's wide open now.
Present to past. So yeah, so what's going to happen? Because McConaughey walked out. I don't think he's going.
I don't think that he's the yellow king.
Let's not get into predictions.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think.
I want to talk about structure a little bit and then we'll get into predictions. Can we do that?
Yay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it's interesting that they've really established that like this is how it goes. And then now there's, three episodes left? And they're like, yeah, it's not going to happen anymore. I mean, I doubt.
You got a different show in your hands.
Yeah,
now.
I doubt Brother Mazzone and the gangster guy from Sons of Anarchy are going to like catch
that
up to
him. That is Brother Mazzone. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah. HBO really likes rehiring people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You get a troop together. It's hard to.
The preacher is. Nucky Thompson's brother Eli.
He's very.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah,
that's been bothering me.
Eli Thompson.
Thompson. He's great. I like him. He's got like just kind of that actory sort of face, and he can kind of ham it up because he's had some silly moments as Eli, but he can do serious too. He was in Machete.
You feel like if you were working at Subway, he'd still be acting it up, you know? if you were just making you your latte at Starbucks,
I mean,
he'd still be like, you got some gravitas going on.
He's
man.
A sandwich artist. He takes his art seriously.
I would tip him $4. at Subway, and then I have a tip jar. I just slide it in.
I can totally see him with like that hangdog kind of look, like, you want this sub toasted?
What bread do you want? But yeah, the structure, I love how it's, they're catching everything up a little bit more in the present with Brother Muzzone, and then moving along in the past, and even just how Woody Harrelson and McConaughey are like, dude, it's what fucking happened. Like, I've told 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And
then they basically set up this event, and you're thinking it's going to be probably the second to last episode that this all plays out in. And they're like, oh, no, here it is. Also, it's a non-event.
Like, it was pretty cool, though.
What event are you talking about?
The killing of the of
the Reggie Ledoux thing.
Yeah, like they built that up pretty hard. They're like, oh, you want to hear about the gunfight 2-3 episodes ago?
Yeah, that's right.
And so they essentially set this up as the culminating event in their entire thing. And it's like, that is a smokescreen. We don't even know what the show looks like next episode. Right. Love that show.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. The fact that they have the same writer-director for all the episodes, I mean, that's the one thing that other shows, House of Cards, Homeland, Game of Thrones, whatever, whether you like them or not, they just don't quite have the same stylistic flow from episode to episode, because it's usually a different writer or different director, or at least it does change. Similar directors, similar writers, maybe through certain episodes, but definitely not the same throughout, where True Detective is just 1 8-hour block of the same dudes banging it out.
I think it's a rare circumstance where I feel the level of attachment to a show where I want to defend it from other people who like it, where I feel like there's a bunch of dorks dorking on my show, and I'm like, dude, shut up, dorks. This is my special thing. I want to like not share this.
Is that
that doesn't happen very often?
Is that mostly because Matthew McConaughey plays Detective Brett?
maybe I have a dangerously personal stake in this.
Yeah. We should just start calling it True Protective.
And oh God, what if that's the reason?
And it all
what if
sort of
the reason I'm so averse to people I don't like enjoying this show.
That also maybe sort of sounds like protective. Where Brett is also protective of it.
Well, it's an interesting. I mean, I gave a lot of thought to this title, you guys. It really works on a lot of different levels.
It really does. I mean,
true protective.
True protective.
True protective.
What if all of those people just want to be my friend? What if I'm the reason?
but yeah, Detective Brett is killing it. He's sucking down Lone Stars. Matthew McConaughey. Oh, I mean, how many cigarettes has he smoked in the making of this show? And he does not do like a fake inhale or a soft inhale. I mean, he sucks down.
When you fail to realize that Matthew McConaughey aces all of his takes on the first try. And so he's doing this in real time. He's actually physically aged himself in the present time scenes. Like, that is his real face. He's just that sort of actor.
He's like such a good actor that at 9 o'clock, or actually 6 o'clock, because I have DirecTV on a Sunday night, it really makes me want to drink at least 6 Lone Star Tall Boys and smoke a pack of Camels.
I was going to mention that. I didn't want to say it.
No, I'm with you. It makes me want to drink beer and smoke cigarettes at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night.
It's like, look how much he's enjoying it.
Yeah, he's so convincing. I'm convinced this is awesome.
I want to grow my hair out. Maybe get a couple tats, suck down some Lone Star and a pack of Camels, and then I want to turn
some tin can friends.
I was just gonna say, I want to make little people out of the cans.
So here's what I'm thinking: my bachelor party is gonna be in Austin. We're gonna have ready access to Lone Star. Brett is gonna be forced to make beer can men.
I can cut my mustache to look. I would do that for you.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, right. I would do that for me too, but this time it'll be for you.
Do it for all of us, man.
Detective Brett is on the case.
He's a true protective.
That is really
good. All right,
good.
So Ben, what's your theory? We can do theories, but let's keep.
Well, I think it'll be some sort of surprise, some sort of character or person that we probably haven't seen. I definitely don't think it's McConaughey, aka Detective Brett. That much I'm sure of.
I do think
I've retracted my opinion that I expressed last week that it is one of them. I think Marty might have an involvement because his daughter's got that weird shit going on with her, but I don't think he is the murderer, and I don't really think he's in league with the murderer, because that's just like, it's too early to be busting out.
Yeah, I feel like he's weirdly involved somehow. Like,
shooting
Ledoux was a silencing move.
Yeah.
I could see him being involved more before Detective Brett.
Had three separate incidents in three different episodes with the daughter doing weird sexual stuff.
Yeah.
So out of five total episodes, in three different episodes, we've seen the daughter either recreating or actually engaging in like weird group sex things. So that's definitely going somewhere.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if McConaughey's involved. That's all.
I would. I'd really like it if it turns out that Russ doesn't bang his wife, and that's a red herring too. Because that's what everyone thought, right? When they had a falling out, that Russ bangs his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? It would be really nice if that wasn't the case there too, and it was just a total carpet out from under you, and it just like he finds, you know.
Well, I felt like that's what they were building towards, right? When they were saying like, "Oh, you guys had a fight and all that kind of stuff," and then of course there's been the tension.
I didn't pick that up.
Hey, don't mow my lawn.
I didn't quite pick that up. I should probably go back and rewatch the first six episodes.
Yes,
or six, five,
five,
five episodes.
Yeah, his Marty's wife is kind of drawn to Cole.
Well, who wouldn't be, man? It's from fucking McConaughey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of drawn to Cole.
He's like sexy and brooding. What's not to like?
Brett, time is a circle. He doesn't even use the upstairs of his house.
He's like,
do you remember that?
Like Morrissey with a pair of gonads.
Did you guys notice that where someone was walking around his apartment and they're like, you know, you have a hole upstairs here, right?
Yeah. Did that happen?
Yeah, it was
after Marty gets kicked out and he goes to stay with
Cole. Oh, it was Marty. You're right.
Goes, hey, you know, you have a hole upstairs here.
I totally missed that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's right. That was when he got the...
What he thinks upstairs. That's disturbing.
I assume nothing, but maybe just dead bodies.
I'll go up there.
Maybe that's where he kept his trunk of weapons in Jameson.
That would make sense.
I mean, he clearly didn't have that in the main room, so...
No, that's just... of his murder manuals.
I don't think I've ever been so stressed out in my life watching a show as I was during the last half hour of episode number four, where I'm like, what's he doing? He's like on drugs. Like, what's going on? And then like,
don't go on the boat with him.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was very nerve wracking.
Stop
snorting the drugs, Detective Brett.
Yeah.
I just kept touching my face.
Yeah, I was on a plane, so it was like really hard to keep it
properly.
Yeah, I couldn't get 100%. I was very nervous and I was literally biting my nails because I actually do that when I watch a movie that's kind of suspenseful. But I felt like I couldn't give myself to the moment 100% because I was just like worried about what someone else would like think if I was being too weird. Because what had already happened was that I tried to watch Wolf of Wall Street on the plane.
How'd you get that, you son of a gun?
Oh, you know, it fell off the back of a truck. And it's like, I just realized, you know, 5 minutes in the movie, there's just a woman's ass taking up the whole screen. And I'm like, I'm sure someone else can see this. I should probably turn this off.
Yeah.
I watched Mary Marcella on the Atlantic. Yeah. The Virgin Atlantic flight. And they don't cut for anything. They just show you the whole movie.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, there were some sort of like weird culty sex scenes in there. I was like, oh, I guess it's a European flight. I can do this. I don't feel terrible.
I think consensus is basically that True Detective's rad. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do next season now? Hypothesize on that. So it's not going to be Detective Brett and Woody Harrelson.
Is that established that they're doing another season?
I thought it was going to be another season, but it was going to be a whole different cast and crew.
Or in a different location?
That's what we don't know.
We were actually just talking about that before we got you on the bloop machine. It's been established that like this storyline is going to end. They're going to start it over with new characters. A lot of people are calling it the American Horror Story type thing.
I like that.
Right, which I think is great. It's like a lot of British shows are like that. And it forces you to like have a beginning, middle, and an end, and not be like, "Hey, how can we figure out how to keep this thing going?" Like, so I like that, and I think it takes a lot of integrity to do that. But what Ben and I were talking about is, do you make it in kind of the same universe where maybe like you don't have it go as cheesy as like having cameos, but maybe you know like cases that were alluded to in earlier seasons?
Sort of, or overlapping type
stuff.
Yeah,
like overlapping stuff. Or do you just start over in a totally different city? Or, you know, how does that work? So I don't know.
Yeah. I hope there's a lady cop thing, because this is all a very male father relationship to girls setup. And I'd like to see something a little more female heavy on the next one.
I'd like to see 12 spinoffs featuring Rust Cole.
Mm-hmm. just have him get filmed for
the Rust Cole show.
just have the supermarket shopping, like in a closed circuit camera, just anything. Everyone getting depressed.
Fucking talk show, the Rust Cole show. Today on the Rust Cole show,
Rust Belt,
and it's a talk show of him just talking.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't even have any guests.
No, he crushes beer cans.
Or topics.
He crushes beer cans and it explains that, you know, that time's a circle. Yeah.
Today's topic: the inexorable march of death. Speaking of which, also another tangent. I think it was like a Deadspin article. Someone posted a video. It was like only slightly related to the article, but it was the clip from UHF where Weird Al has the talk show. He's like, lesbian Nazi hookers abducted by UFOs. And it reminded me of, that might be one of the greatest movies of all time.
Very underrated, for
UHF.
Sure.
UHF. It's so good.
Conan the Librarian will never not be funny.
Used to Dewey Decimal System.
These books are a little overdue.
He chops them in half.
Yeah. So good. All right. Well, before we get Laramie on, we had a couple emails that I liked. Thanks, everyone, for sending. But this one I liked a lot. So it says, the subject line is friends. And it starts...
I'll be there for you.
Will you be there for me?
Friends.
Hi, guys. Frogcast last week got me curious. How do you guys become friends? You are weird. And an eclectic bunch. Now, we have explained this before, but...
Right. We probably had three different Frogcasts where it's like, hey, tell the story how you guys became friends.
It's a fair question. People, you know, start up at different times. I can see how Vince, Brendan, and Brett fit together, but what about Ben? We need to talk about Ben. Is it a case where Ben was Vince's friend and Brendan and Brett just had to deal with him? Nothing against Ben. I love Ben, but the relationship between Brendan and Ben seemed particularly cold. Coming from Brendan, Ben at least makes an effort with him. I couldn't help but despair last week when I learned that it was just Ben and Brendan in the frock quarters without Vince acting as the gel between them. I imagine
the conductive tissue. It's really...
Yeah. I imagine that once the recording finished and Ben turned to Brendan with a cautious smile, the big man got up and walked right past the Jewish boy, hitting him with a sweaty shoulder as he passed.
I was a perfectly normal temperature last week, okay?
Yeah, his shoulder was not sweaty. I rambled.
For the record, I think I gave Ben a hug like before I left last week.
Sweaty hug.
Sweaty hug.
I've rambled, but back to my main question. How did you all become friends? My hypothesis. Brendan was a popular jock. He had a deeper personality than other jocks. He had an interest in death metal and pot. This is when he roped in the class weirdo, Brett, to teach him his ways. They hung out after school, but could never be seen together in the hallways. They would meet up after the bell rang, smoke D-R-U-G-S, and philosophize behind the bleachers. This is when Vince stumbled upon them as he was looking for a quiet and secluded place to tell jokes to imaginary audience and masturbate. Vince uses knowledge of Brendan and Brett's friendship as a form of blackmail. He'd spread the word if they didn't let him hang out with them. So the two accepted him, and he grew to love him as two dogs with four legs would learn to love a dog with only three legs and a guzzy eye.
What is a guzzy eye?
I don't know. I know all that. I get that. Can't for the life of me figure out where Ben came from. Fraud on. Oh, that was a good email.
I like being the jock. That's good. I also like being into pot and death metal. That's something I learned about
myself. One or two isn't bad.
Yeah. I tend to go more on the thrash side.
Oh, my bad. All right.
Thrash,
hairs.
Speed metal. Okay. Yeah, someone sent me a download of A Blaze in the Northern Sky by Dark Throne. I think it was Dark Throne.
Don't look at me.
So, yeah, sorry. Well, you're the only other person in here. I can't look at Brett. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's Dark Throne. It's like, you know, the like landmark, like death metal album, and it's just Swedish death metal, like black metal.
Didn't do it for you.
Huh? Doesn't do it for me.
Goes in the homeland pile.
Yeah.
Hmm. The true story is.
Can I just say how much I love that this is not the first piece of fan fiction we've received?
Oh no. Well, we
are recast in our own lives. I find this super weird, but totally enjoyable.
Oh, it's awesome.
I would listen to stories about me told by other people for probably the rest of my life.
Pretty
which
good.
Would be a weird thing to do, is just recap through other people stories that never actually happened to me, but that I star in.
So the
me and Brett just smoking pot under the bleachers.
Looking at death metal.
Listen to death metal.
As Vince comes and blackmails you.
And just jerks off in front of us.
tells
jokes while jerking off in front of us.
Not that far off, honestly.
Vince, Brett, and I went to college together. I was in Australia. I came back, and Vince, Brett, and a bunch of other dudes were little freshmen running around in our fraternity.
I met Vince playing quarters at a friend's house.
Sounds about right.
And then, first week of college.
And then Brendan was really good high school friends with another friend that was in college with the other three of us.
But he and I didn't smoke pot and listen to death metal under the bleachers.
No, but no one had to blackmail Brendan either for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was at UC San Diego, where Brendan was at San Diego State. So we're all sort of in the same hood, same area, and that's how it all started. And this was about 15 years ago.
That's right.
Crazy to think about
that.
Crazy. All right. Well, let's get Laramie Legal on. I think he's been waiting around just watching movie after movie. So we'll
just
get
writing lists.
Yeah, just listing it
just
up.
Just playing Madden.
Just listen to things he's doing while he's waiting for us to Skype him.
Let's see if I can. Let's try to add someone. And
yeah, you got to add.
Skype's hard. It's complicated.
So a lot of things that can go wrong. There's at least two buttons.
Say blooping ain't easy.
Everybody in the back say bloop.
Is it working?
Go for Laramie.
So good.
Mr. Laramie. Legal, how goes it?
Oh, man, so good. Just cancer-free over here.
Good for you,
killing
man.
I'm killing it.
Just killing it. So this is, of course, broadcast favorite Laramie Legal. Laramie, before we get to anything else, I just want to check in. I want to see how is the Madden franchise doing?
Listening to you guys talk about that was a horror show because you knew so little. It was just the blind leading the blind.
Were you just screaming at your computer like, they don't even get it? Oh, my God.
A couple of things. Is Brendan there tonight or no?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so the first thing is they stopped doing the imports for college players because of people like you, people of your ilk, who had to sue them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because they were using representation illegally.
Hey, for the record, I declined participation in that class action lawsuit.
Why? I would have taken my money.
I don't know.
They're criminals.
Yeah, you would have gotten at least $10 to $12. Yeah,
$12. $12. I was in an ad. There was like a little screen cap of me in an ad.
Well, then I think
a virtual me.
I think you can add a zero to that $12.
Yeah.
Woo. So they actually stopped making NCAA football because of all this, because they can't, they can't just steal college kids' likeness anymore, which makes them very sad, I guess.
But it still generates new prospects, right?
Okay, so back to that question. People do go and create college players, like. Crazy people create the rosters and numbers and everything and attributes and all that. And those files do like get out on the internet like anything else. And you can actually download them into your PS. It's just a little file import. I'm not sure if you still can, but you could last year. But we're in the year 2022. And so it's all new prospects. We're not looking at like fourth graders or anything for now.
Has Blaine Gabbert turned it around in 2022?
In 2022, Tim Tebow is still a starting quarterback. I'd like to let you know.
Oh, so
it is a terrifying future.
So I'll have to say this. Laramie convinced me to get Madden on PlayStation 4. He was like, yeah, you know, the blocking intelligence is a lot better, and you should pick it up.
For an offensive lineman like yourself, that's really been your main gripe, is that the blocking intelligence has always been inferior.
It's terrible. And I was actually explaining this to Laramie, and hopefully Brett can understand this, where really, if you think about it, blocking is nothing more than a series, when you're thinking about a scheme, is nothing more than a series of if-then statements, where it's like, you have this guy – or if they line up in this formation, you have this guy. If someone crosses your face or they run this kind of blitz, you have to pick this guy up. So, like, I don't think it would be that hard because that's kind of how computer programming works. But, like, guys just, you know, refuse to block people all the time and it sucks. Anyway, so I bought.
They just straight up refuse. They're like, not today, son.
Yeah, they're like, go on strike.
Nah, son. Okay,
so Brett, we need you to program this. There's a Sam, a Mike, and a Jack linebacker, okay?
Uh-huh.
Depending right. on the, no, I'm just kidding.
So
I was a little butthurt because I thought you meant that I would understand it because I played guard in YFL football in seventh grade.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I know. I felt honored. We were on a lot of polling players.
Nice. So anyway, I tried. So I'm like kind of messing around with Madden 25. And it's like, I chose the Niners and I'm like, yeah, let's do franchise. And then it's like, do you want to do a fantasy draft? And I was like, sure, why not? Let's try it. And so it like shuffles all the rosters and it auto, and I just did auto draft and I kept the team pretty intact, except my starting fucking quarterback was Tim Tebow. It's like, oh, cruel fate.
Well, Laramie is in the future and Tim Tebow is still good. So,
oh, imagine if each of his prayers only gets him back in the NFL in a digital form.
The other crazy one is like, there's some really weird things that happen like in the future. So in the year 2022, things that happen that are odd, the Cleveland Browns move to Portland and become the Portland River Hogs, which I mean, seems cruel even for a game, right? Like even for a game, to take the Cleveland team away from them. That just seems just mean. The
did you name them the River Hogs?
No. The computer named them that.
The computer chose to name them the River Hogs.
Yes.
That is awesome. So I love technology.
Are those pigs in a river?
I guess so. Their logo is like a razorback almost.
Okay. But in a river.
So Portland people, right? Who knows? So the Rams of St. Louis moved to Mexico City and became the Golden Eagles.
Whoa.
Which that's odd too. I don't think the NFL would allow a second Eagles team, but you know, right. What do I know? And then I relocated the Chargers after 57 years of their stadium to London and became the London Monarchs.
You'd been so Laramie was at my place a couple weeks ago and he was already looking forward to
butterfly?
He was already looking forward to the move.
No, like the Royals.
Oh, that was actually right, the like team of the World League of football team, yeah. In London was the Monarchs. My coach in college played for them.
We decided to build a dome. We play in Parliamentary Stadium.
How's the marketing? Before the marketing guy, so you have a full roster of employees, and one was a marketing guy. And while in San Diego, his only line is, "We can't change our market size." Nothing we can do about
like
market
our
size.
Market's always so big. Nothing we can do about that. It's like, but you're the marketing guy. That's all you do is stuff about that.
This is Madden 25, right?
No, it's
yeah.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. For PS3 yeah. Though.
Same thing though. He has the exact same.
So yeah. Same thing in PS3 or PS4.
Yeah, exact same look. Actually, just
shine
the graphics
your,
a lot better.
Helmets.
Four.
They get the
yeah.
Get
four
the
looks a lot helmets. Better. Yeah. Four looks much better.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you got to move, Laramie. I know you've been looking forward to that for several seasons. So,
there's kind of a disaster coming up because I'm gone for the next 10 days without my PS3 or 4.
Why explain that part? Why does the PS3 have to come along with you? Is it just because you guys have a schedule, or is it running on some kind of internal clock?
So you have to do certain things. I mean, playing your game, obviously, but you have certain administrative functions. You know, that you have to re-sign players. Brett, and trade. Just, I mean, it's a job.
Brett, you have to set hot dog prices and stuff like that.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Brett, that's not a joke. You actually have to do that.
I got to be honest. It's taken over a lot of my life. I'm not proud to say.
Brett, every time I use my PlayStation to like go to Netflix or something like that, Laramie is online because you can see where your friends are. Laramie's online playing Madden.
He was here and he spent 5 to 6 hours of the time scouting players.
So you're an expert. Can I ask a specific question?
Sure. Yeah.
How do I know if I've got Madden loaded up on my screen and the controller in my hand? How do I know if I'm playing Madden? Because as far as I can tell, I am not having any meaningful input for the positive or negative for what's happening on screen. I might as well be watching football.
Like existentially, you mean?
I mean mechanically. Like I can't if I'm having an effect as a human participating in the system one way or the other.
I think if you just hit like X, it'll do auto for you if you don't do anything. So if you don't enter any input, it will take over. But if you do enter input, then you've got the – it's like autopilot, right? But if you take over, then you're doing it.
What happens if I just leave it running for like a year? What happens then? Does it become self-aware?
Well, first off, you hear too much Phil Sims, so you'd probably hang yourself.
I love how generic they have to be.
The team that's
going to do the most is obviously going to have the most things happen.
I got two snaps into my first game of Madden 25, and to global settings, announcers down to zero. It's unbelievable. Like Phil Sims had not shut the fuck up through the entire like pregame graphics, the coin toss, the kickoff. Like he had not stopped fucking talking, and I just turned all of it off.
You know what's it's refreshing though.
Pay per sample, dude.
Yeah,
it's refreshing that he's as terrible in video game form as he is in real life. Like they're consistent.
It's very realistic. This PlayStation 4 is technologically advanced. It's just like I was watching a game on CBS.
I don't know if you're aware if it's in the game. It's in the game.
I heard that somewhere.
I don't think they use that anymore.
Doesn't matter.
No, they don't.
I don't even think they advertise. Now that they've got the lockdown on the rights to reproduce, they don't even try anymore.
Yeah, they don't even try anymore. Yeah, they make like $300-400 million per game. They budget like $30. They put out a new one every year, and it's just if there's glitches, like hey, go play the other NFL game. Oh, there's not one. Oh, then good. That's all.
Kids.
Oh, it's really the only one anymore?
I knew a guy who was on the team when they redid their physics engine, which apparently like was awesome. But apparently all the old team were off in another corner, and like the physics guys were kind of like just rolling with their leather jackets, talking about how they're going to be the future of the franchise. So there's a lot of hostility in the teams between years.
Those physics guys always wear leather jackets.
Fucking physics guys, man. Just tackle engine.
All right, well, Laramie, I'm glad you finally got to move. I hope there's only this means great things for the Monarch franchise and its owner, Fred Britannia.
Well, being gone for 10 days is not going to help matters, but hopefully I'll be able to keep apprised via emails and just work in the system, calling from a naval destroyer on my phone from the ship.
I can't believe they're letting you travel. So Laramie gets to my place. And within 30 seconds, he takes out the PS3 and plugs it in.
Well, you can't leave the marketing guy in charge. He doesn't have any good ideas.
That's very true. If the marketing guy is in charge of the draft, you're fucked.
It's really not even fun anymore. It's more like a job. It's more like, I got to do this now.
It's kind of like when you see like heroin addicts on TV and they're like, yeah, the first time I did it, it was like the biggest rush ever. And now I just do it to be normal. Now I do it so I'm not dope sick. It's a job.
Laramie is also someone that's in a 27-round fantasy football league where I think they draft Gatorade mixers, and you need to get...
Let me give you a Dan Dierdorf expression. I'm not going to claim that he's not obsessive about certain things. You know what I mean?
I'm not so sure he's not obsessive.
That's right. I'm not so sure Laramie wouldn't tell you. But he might be involved in OCD stuff.
My point is more when Laramie gets involved with something, he goes whole river hog.
Full bore. Yeah.
Full river hog.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
How does your wife feel about all this?
I do a lot of it late at night, and she's kind of a narcoleptic. She goes to bed about 8:45 usually. So that helps.
Oh, it's perfect. So from 8:45 until about 4 in the morning, you got Madden time.
Hello.
Dinner. You're just like, hey, have a part.
I feel guilty just trying to sneak in like 45 minutes of video game time. So good on you, Laramie.
Not everyone's got the requisite 20 to 40 hours a week on their Madden franchise.
That's right.
But some people do.
Some people do.
All right. Well, switching gears, three of the four of us, and Brendan doesn't care, saw RoboCop, the new RoboCop. There was actually people that asked me, they said, do you see the old one or do they remake it?
Yeah, I have to be honest. I did not see the entire movie. I walked out after he threatened his chief or whatever. I was like, you know what? I hate this. And I left.
So, well, you saw.
Doesn't that go against one of his prime directives, though?
That to bore me to death?
He doesn't have any prime directives built in on it.
Well,
how can you have a RoboCop with no prime directives? Actually, this is a good dynamic that all you guys, that three of the four have seen RoboCop, and the one that hasn't is a diehard fan of the original.
So they changed it slightly in that there's a couple. If you wear this bracelet thing, then
he's more emo.
He's more emo
this time around.
They can't. Does the bracelet have spikes?
Just having you guys describe it is boring me.
Did he buy it at Hot Topic?
Yeah, so you have to go to Hot Topic. You get an anti RoboCop spiked bracelet, and then he can't shoot you.
His prime directive is brooding. he broods a lot.
Definitely a lot of brooding. So my favorite scene of the movie is the only scene that Brett liked. Laramie, do you know what scene that might be?
Yeah, when he's down to like just his kidneys or whatever.
His kidneys are long gone, by the way. So big time spoiler for here, but I would guess that you either saw this movie already or you don't give a fuck like Brendan.
It doesn't sound like a spoiler. I mean, I think you could probably guess that for RoboCop.
There's no way you could spoil this movie because absolutely nothing happens.
All right. Like, well,
let's just say he found his birthday suit. If during your birthday you do organ trafficking, I think that'd be the best way to say it.
So after the, you know, he wakes up as RoboCop and he's like, "What the fuck did you do to me?" And he said, "You know, I show me what you did." And they keep removing more and more of his RoboCop body, and all that's left is his head without the top of his skull, and his lungs in an acrylic case, and then his hand, a severed hand. And that's all. Oh, it's heart and lungs.
I don't want to make it sound like that's an awesome scene. Like, it's just the only thing that was remotely memorable about the movie. Like, they could have done that so much more intense, but like that was the only thing that I can even piss credit towards.
Hmm. So Brett really liked it.
I have never been to a more risk averse, just tedious film.
RoboCop vivisection scene. Brett pisses his approval towards the.
The one thing that
what does it do? It did nothing to warrant its existence.
Okay, like,
there was absolutely no reason for this thing to be.
Well, so Brett was a big fan.
About almost everything else.
Going in, I knew it wasn't going to be ideal because the original one was rated R, famously rated X on an initial cut.
That's right.
And still rated R. This one, unfortunately, rated PG-13, which that's like no man's land for movies, in my opinion. You either go PG or you go R. And the PG-13 rating, to me, just means layup. It means... There were people that wouldn't agree. Some people probably wanted an R, and other people said, it's not going to reach a big enough audience. We have to go PG-13, and then they tamed it down.
I guess this is the one.
This whole thing, this was like focus grouped multiple times, but instead of having people in the chairs in the focus group, they just had russet potatoes, and then one of the russet potatoes fell over. That's how they made this movie.
So, Laramie, maybe you can shed some light here. So the R movie is sort of going away, right? The only reason that we're seeing, like, or I guess pretty much the only time we're seeing R movies now is, like, really cheaply made horror movies, right? Because studios just won't really touch R movies anymore. Is that what's going on?
I mean, I think there's some big exceptions, like... There's the R things that they make, you know, the sexy R's or the 300s or the, you know, I don't want to go up down the whole Zack Snyder thing, but the ones they seem to be really gearing towards PG-13, the YA stuff has made it all PG-13, right? And so then that tends to bring down adult content as well.
Young adult.
Oh.
Meaning Twilight and Divergent.
Hunger Games.
Because I feel like, you know, I mean, think about how many R movies that just like Predator nowadays would be PG-13, you know,
yep.
Die Hard would be PG-13.
Yep.
The Last Boy Scout would be PG-13. Lethal Weapon would be PG-13. Like, great action movies of the 90s would all be PG-13. What about like R rated comedies of the 90s? I don't know. I'm drawing a blank, but
they're doing hard R comedies though. Still.
Are they?
Like, yeah, so A Good Day to Die Hard, which was the last one, which is a catastrophe, was rated R.
Well, and then I know Nolan is his own cinematic factory, but all of the Dark Knights were R, if I remember correctly.
Were they?
Oh, were they PG-13?
I thought they were PG-13. I don't remember Blood.
What about
dude?
Inception? Damn, that's it. Probably PG-13. Yeah. There's nothing too objectionable in there, right?
Correct.
Yeah, they're all PG-13.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I was just showing myself out.
The R thing, like, I would say the comedies, like Pineapple Express or something like that, right? Like, that line of comedies is all R's. But
I guess, and comedies can also be cheaper than the blockbusters. Like, you cannot have an R-rated blockbuster. It's just, it necessarily just cleaves a segment of your audience, right?
Well, this is actually about what Brett talked about, which is the focus grouping. So they've really distilled, this film is for this group, right? Mm-hmm. And so the R group is not as big. And so you do get your films, but you're not going to get nearly as many. So like The Hangover, you know, is a classic recent example. Ted, you know, things like that will still get released. Bridesmaids, Django, The Heat was R, actually. So you still get that stuff, but it's meant for those audiences where, like, I wandered into RoboCop. I had bad parents, but still, you know.
I mean, RoboCop's not RoboCop unless it has an R rating. Like, I'm speaking from the place of the original. I mean, it's just very dark. It's very Paul Verhoeven, right? It's like ultra violent.
The first RoboCop is gnarly.
I mean, it's
gnarly.
It is like, yeah, it is.
I mean, it's flat out disturbing. Yeah.
Well, there's the famous scene where the toxic waste dude gets exploded by a car.
Oh.
Well, overall, I honestly did enjoy RoboCop. I mean, I can't aggressively recommend it. I would say it was better than an average action movie, but it was far from awesome. Definitely don't care to rush out and see it again. RoboCop was cool. His motorcycle was super cool. Samuel L. Jackson basically hosts a Fox News type show, which was kind of funny. Didn't have even close to the level of sarcasm and silliness that the first RoboCop had.
Was the I'd buy that for a dollar guy in it?
There was not that.
Yeah.
They did only
they said the line, though.
They said the line once, but completely unrelated to anything.
You know, there's a bot on Twitter that if you make any RoboCop reference, they'll automatically reply to you, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't
seriously. Go on Twitter right now. Type in something that's related to RoboCop. Hashtag it Frogcast because we're blatant self promoters, and you will get an auto reply from the I'd buy that for a dollar bot.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bot, but one time I mentioned Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and they must have had some guy scanning Twitter for any Las Vegas mention because he responded to everybody, or he and or she.
Oh.
Like
I would like that. You're the Las Vegas Twitter guy. Enjoy.
Have fun. We want you to respond to everything mentioning the movie.
Enjoy the fresh hell we've created for you.
So the RoboCop remake again. I mean, I can't aggressively recommend, but it was an enjoyable action movie to me. I wasn't upset that I saw it. And I definitely would not have walked out.
I like the propaganda aspect of it. How they like showed people cloaking. Losing liberty in the flag, you know what I mean? Like how it all becomes patriotic to want security. And that's the thing that I thought it did pretty well on. Now, the ending's a disaster. The last 30 minutes are not very good at all. But it was a very different movie than the R, you know? Definitely not as ambitious. And the other people we have to thank for PG-13, by the way, is all the superhero nonsense. It's all PG-13 every time.
Yeah, and those are the ones that make a kajillion dollars.
Yep.
There were some scenes in RoboCop that had the super generic action movie tropes in them. So RoboCop goes, he finally knows where the bad guy is that killed him. The main bad guy, Mr. Bad Guy.
Clarence Boddicker?
I wish they used that name, but they didn't. But it was basically Clarence Boddicker. And he goes to like the henchman, the bad guy's lair where he's making all the drugs. And they just have the scene where there's 100 henchmen. All armed with guns. And I like how that in movies, henchmen are so loyal and they're willing to just stand there up against any foe, regardless if it's RoboCop or Superman or whatever. And they'll just stand there until they die, which is really I mean, that's honorable to be able to do that for a random drug dealer, bad guy. That
like, gonna... after you see the first 10 guys go down, aren't you like, well, fuck this.
Yeah, dude, RoboCop is just mauling people. RoboCop is fucking taking everybody out. Bro, I'm... Dude, let's get out of here, man. There's another drug dealer up the road. We can get a job. Our resumes are good.
They did that in Iron Man 3, remember? He's like, listen, I think these guys are kind of weird. I sort of don't want to be here anyway. And he just, like, drops his gun and runs away.
I don't remember that, but I like that. Yeah. So there was that scene.
Yeah, they should be like,
and they made it. They also cut out all the lights. So for some reason, the whole scene was in like night vision. That didn't make a whole lot of sense. But I like that where they had just had RoboCop gunning down all the henchmen. Is always fun because it makes no sense.
They also said like RoboCop could be killed by what 50 cal was it? 50 cal bullets.
Yeah, so
and they all had 50 cal bullets, but it seemed to have no real effect for most of the...
Supposedly, yeah, 50 cals do not penetrate or can penetrate his armor. And they said use the 50 cals, but then it maybe he had a software upgrade. I don't know.
Yeah, he definitely still killed a million of them.
That would seem to be a hardware upgrade.
For him, it was software, though.
Oh, okay.
And then another scene that was very silly. So to prove that RoboCop is street ready and as good as the full no human element robots, they had I forget the actor's name, but it was Watchmen, the Rorschach from Watchmen, that actor.
Oh, Jack Carroll Haley.
Yes. So he's like the main sort of dude who approves, the main military guy for Omnicorp. And RoboCop, to prove his worth, has to single-handedly beat...
He's like the Miguel Ferrer.
No, he has character. To beat like 30... I don't know what that means.
He was the guy who gets blown up by Boddicker in the first RoboCop with a grenade. And he puts the tape on. He's like, what's his name? It's Dick something. The old guy's like... He puts the tape on. It's his face. And he goes like, whatever's last... Dick Jones here.
I think it was Dick Jones.
Yeah. Dick Jones here. And then he like tells him, if you're seeing this, you're on your knees begging for your life. I forget what that character's name was. The actor's name is Miguel Ferrer.
Oh, yes. The guy that dies. They shoot out his kneecaps.
They shoot out his kneecaps and then drop the grenade in his house.
Yeah, no.
Boddicker does it.
It was a different setup in terms of corporate culture. Mm. The corporate culture in this Omnicorp is a little bit different. So this was a much more military guy, Jack Earl Haley. Okay. And RoboCop has to single-handedly defeat about 40 robotic versions of him. Otherwise, he sucks, which is awesome because that makes no sense. He would...
Well, they also did the thing where they said they changed his programming to just be taken over by a computer, right? Like, he was doing too many human things, and that's not going to work because robots are faster. So they then changed his programming to make him more robotic so that he's faster, okay? Follow me. But then it never comes back up again. Like, they never bring that up again.
I wouldn't be surprised if that movie had a handful of writers and different writers
And why would he be faster than a robot if he's a robot?
Because all he had... Well, so, yeah, the problem was that, Brendan, that he overthought things, and that was just... That was not going to work. So the robot would go in and just kill people without thinking at all, where RoboCop would spend a split second, sometimes 2 seconds, thinking about killing the person and then kill them. And in battle, that's not going to cut it.
His fatal flaw is his humanity.
Yeah. And they actually showed like the side-by-side specs, and they're like, robot did it in 2.2 seconds. RoboCop did it in 4.7. And you're like, but those 2 seconds, really, is that going to... Like when you're killing people? I don't know. Call me crazy.
Did you notice in the first RoboCop, there's that one guy who looks so much like Frank Sinatra, the guy who tries to kick him in the balls in the club and then clangs his shin off RoboCop's metal codpiece? He looks so much like a Frank Sinatra cousin or something. And everyone in that movie, it's so strange to think that we're probably about their age. That, you know, like during when that movie was shot, they were the same age we are now, but they look so old. Like everyone just looks old. Was it like the 80s or is it just a weird mental thing? But like everyone,
they were living hard lives. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone just like looks really old. Like it's weird to see the Frank Sinatra guy. You're like, why is a guy that old in a club? You know, like what's he doing in a club? I haven't been to a nightclub in like 3 years.
I would never go to
RoboCop frequents clubs, though.
Yeah, that's right. Well, only when he follows people.
They also needed to get rid of either the kid or the wife or both. Like, it was too much going on.
Oh, okay. Partner, right? All right. Well, I'm never seeing this fucking movie.
Well, you definitely
there's a kid and a wife.
Well, so in the
from the writer of Homeland, RoboCop.
Yep.
So this one definitely has a larger focus. So in the first one, if I remember correctly,
there's the flashback scenes.
Yeah, but they're not in it anymore. If I remember correctly, right?
In the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes back to his home, and there's like the, which is so funny. Like they didn't think that maybe there would be some sort of strange projection. There's like these old school like tube TV kiosks everywhere, and it's like, hi, buy this house from me. And then as he's walking around the house, there's like the flashbacks of all the different moments he's having with his kid and his wife.
But they don't actually come back.
Can we do this? Do you want to do the role play of the best scene in the movie with the kid? And I'll see if you remember the lines. You ready?
Okay.
So you be RoboCop and become Jimmy or whatever. Go.
So I'm RoboCop? Wait, I'm RoboCop?
Yep, and you just walk in the door, say you're home or whatever, and I'll go from there.
Hey, son.
Dad, I saved all the Red Wings games for you.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know. I didn't watch yet. I waited for you. That's a real scene. That happened. Someone wrote that.
So the kid supposedly saved 3 months of Red Wings games and hadn't watched
it. He has no idea. Yeah, he didn't see the papers, the news, nothing. Total media blackout for the kid.
It's like in that one Saturday Night Live, where's the NyQuil that makes you hibernate through the winter?
Oh, that was with Chris Farley.
Yeah,
too.
With Chris Farley. And then he's like, I missed the Super Bowl. And she hands him the VHS tape.
Yeah. It was like Super Quill or something.
Oh, shit. What was it called? Yeah. I mean, it was like,
it was like Super NyQuil or something, but someone's yelling at us through the computer.
Yeah, someone's yelling at us through the computer.
But yeah, it's like, you sleep off your cold and several other colds in the meantime. Right. And then he wakes up with a big beard
with
and long fingernails.
Beard. Dad!
What happened with the Super Bowl? I got it right here. And in another few years, no one will even know what that VHS tape even means.
What is that?
I mean, it's sort of realistic then, right? Like, you could actually have a media blackout. Now, you couldn't unsee 3 months of Red Wings games. Like,
you would have to remove yourself from life. You'd have to move.
You'd have to be in a bunker.
Yeah, you'd probably have to move to a different country. And I mean, I can't imagine you could live in the United States and not find out without, you'd have to never watch TV. You'd have to cancel your phone. You'd have to cancel your internet. I mean, it would take a lot of work to not find out.
Well, like 3 months in, a kid would wear a Red Wings jersey to school and either look sad or happy. Like, that would be it. You know?
And someone else would, I mean, yeah, that's right. He goes to school in Detroit. You don't think all the other kids are talking about it?
It's preposterous. Makes no sense.
So you like that scene is what you're telling me.
Also, his dad should have been like, why'd you fucking wait? You didn't know if I was coming back. Jesus, kid.
Yeah, how long were you
take life as it comes?
How long were you gonna wait? Were you gonna wait 4 or 5 seasons? Like, what if I never came back?
Did I teach you to fucking just put off the pleasure? Like, be a heathen. Enjoy yourself, kid.
He finally comes back after a 30-year coma. Dad, I got 30 years of Red Wings games. I haven't watched any of them. And what I was thinking, clearly I'm not as big of a hockey fan, but even out of any sport, I would not want to watch 4 months of regular season games.
No.
You don't binge watch 90 hours of hockey, do you?
No, and I mean, even like, I like NBA a lot. I don't want to watch half of the season regular season games. I mean, that's absurd. I don't need to watch all of those. I'm good. Just let me know what happened in the season. You know what happens after this season, Laramie? Another season.
Maybe someone had a learning disability that they didn't really get into.
maybe they didn't tackle the fact that he was a little slow. That was a big issue for RoboCop and his son. That they, you maybe they'll get into that in the sequel where it's drone warfare.
RoboCop 2. Yeah.
Drone warfare RoboCop and 2. His autistic son.
Remember the original RoboCop 2 where there was like the 9-year-old criminal mastermind?
RoboCop 2.
I don't think I saw RoboCop 2.
It was really bad.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it was really
bad. It was Hibernol is the the thing that Chris Farley took.
Hibernol. Nice. The other ad that from Saturday Night Live that always I remember for sure is, of course, colon blow and super colon blow.
Yep. Well, Schmidt's gay.
Well, of course, yeah, Schmidt's gay.
I think we've talked about Schmidt's gay on the frog.
I like Bad Idea Jeans quite a bit.
Bad Idea Jeans is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I figured I was going to use protection, but I figured, when's the next time I'm going to be in Haiti?
They're playing basketball against all the black guys. Like, yeah. It's double or nothing.
I just started renovating. Hey, aren't you renting? Yeah. They won't mind.
Hey, Laramie, earlier I was professing my love for the movie UHF.
Oh, yeah. Wow, very old school.
Yeah. So
we've
good.
Got it all on UHF.
Well, I was talking about how, like, I was reading a Deadspin article, and it was only tangentially related, but it was still really funny, where someone posted the video of the talk show that he's on. It's like the Donahue-style talk show.
Yeah, was that like the beginning and end of Weird Al Yankovic's career? Like in one hour-long?
He's still going. So, I mean,
he made some legitimately amazing music. Like, it was really fucking funny.
And since then, he's had a lot of other music. He had Amish Paradise, which I was a fan of.
Amish Paradise is great. He had All About the Pentiums. All About the Benjamins.
He had
He had White and Nerdy.
White and Nerdy, I was going to say, because it has one of my favorite lines ever, which is, shit, something taking up my top eight spaces in MySpace. Damn it, I forgot the line. But it's something about in my top eight spaces.
The one that I really like is Dare to be Stupid, which is like the Devo parody. That was really good.
No, I'm fat. I'm fat.
Yeah. The video for Fat is like...
next level.
Oh, it's so good. There's also a little breakdown in Dare to be Stupid that goes, stick your head in the microwave and get yourself a tan. Which was, I don't know, that always made me laugh for some reason.
And from what I understand, he's got a very loyal fan base, so he still tours around. I actually saw him in concert once. He puts on a really funny show. So, for example, for Fat, he comes out in the full Fat suit. So
How long did you wait out for Wheeled Out tickets, just to be curious? A couple days?
Oh, yeah, wait outside. It was like 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, just making sure.
I think this was back in high school. It was either high school or college. I can't remember exactly. And, I mean, the crowd itself is fairly tame. I mean, it's definitely not a full concert atmosphere. It's almost like a theatrical performance mixed with music. But he does, at least back then, 15 years ago plus, he had a lot of the outfits. He performed a lot of the different songs very silly and... He loves polka stuff. Mm-hmm. So he had a huge polka medley. He loves all the polka.
Yeah, well, his polka medleys are called Polka Your Eyes Out.
Well, oof. If you're going to polka your eyes out, I mean, you got to.
Well, his first hit was Another One Rides the Bus, which is Another One Bites the Dust, but it was just a polka version. It was like him playing an accordion and a guy playing drums on the accordion case.
Okay. He's creative.
He's a creative guy.
Yeah. He's still, Laramie, I think he's still trucking.
Sillily was almost a new word, by the way, that you created there.
Sillily.
Sillily.
That would have been big. You can't go back on that URL quick.
Sillily.
That was close. Well, speaking of people that are a little intoxicated, this one came through Vince. I don't know who sent it to him, but this is a cops show in Australia that Brendan had actually seen.
Cops.
On Cops America.
Yeah.
Laramie, I think you're going to enjoy this if you can hear okay.
It's after 10 p.m., and Senior Constable Ash Bowden is on to an unusual job.
Just up in Carrum Downs, we're looking for a car that was doing burnouts, and then another call's come through saying that a similar-looking car or very similar description has crashed. So we're just trying to get to it as quick as we can to see what the hell's going on.
Witnesses to the incident have given the location as this shopping mall car park. Ash soon spots what he's looking for.
What happened, mate? What's going on?
And so he found the car, and the car is completely busted up with a front right flat tire, and half of the car is parked up on the grass, while the front of the car is still in the parking lot.
I'm just waiting for a mate. Is that why your car's all smashed up and you're up on the grass at the moment, or what?
Yeah. I'm waiting for a mate. He's gone in there. Why?
I'm just wondering how the collision with your car happened, mate.
What collision?
Well, the one that's got your, all your wheels and stuff twisted up and your front bumper bars hanging off, mate.
Well, I'm just waiting for a mate, as I said.
Who's your mate?
Hey?
Who's your mate?
James.
Yeah? Isn't there? James who?
Huh?
How'd you get down here? How'd you get down here?
Does it matter?
It kind of does, mate, because you've just been involved in an accident.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
His car is destroyed.
And I love how like non-cynical the questions are, though. Really, like they're really earnest. It's like, how'd you get down here? He's like, James. James who? Like, you're gonna know him? Like, what's going on?
There's something about Australia that makes the accents already make it awesome. And then they
smashed your car up.
No, I didn't.
That's that.
Well,
but I don't feel like he doesn't have, like, any American you put in that position would have like 12 lies ready, right?
Well, he'd have 12 lies, and then by now he'd have 12 tasers into him as well.
This guy just has like no lies. He's just stunned. He's stunned by the second question out of the box. How did you get here?
Waiting for my mate, James.
Am I?
Yeah.
What kind of accident?
One with a curb, mate, and your whole car's smashed up.
One with a curb.
Can I see your license, please?
No.
No?
No.
No? Been drinking tonight?
No.
I can smell it on you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not driving.
He's in the driver's seat.
He's waiting for his mate, though, Brendan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not driving.
That's fine, mate. Your car's been involved in an accident. I believe you were an occupant of the car.
Oh, I haven't even...
All right, so what I'll get you to do, because of the fact you don't want to show me your license, get you to stand out of the car for me, please.
Senior Constable Ash Bowden has found a young man in a damaged car. It's run onto a garden in a car park, but the driver reckons it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Hop out of the car now.
Out of the car now?
Yeah, or get your license out. Make a decision.
Well, I don't have a license. I'm sitting here because I'm waiting for a mate. And I don't understand why there's six people standing around me.
Because we're working, mate, and you've had a car crash.
No, I haven't.
You're drunk.
How are they still explaining this to him?
It's so good.
God, they're so patient.
Yeah, they really are. I mean,
he's still giving him the option to give him the license. Like, a U.S. cop would have pulled him out by your hair by now.
Oh, pulled him out, tased him, potentially shot him.
And set the dog on him.
And this guy would get a life sentence for resisting arrest. In the United States, this guy's done for. Let's we'll give him about another 30 seconds. The clip's really good, though.
Oh, mate. I can smell it all over you. So hop out of the car.
I'm not. No, easy.
Come on.
I'm not drunk.
If you don't want to tell me who you are or produce a license, mate, you can come over this way to the police car.
The motorist continues to deny any association with.
Meanwhile, there's a 12-pack of the Wild Turkey. I think it's
like Wild Turkey Cola, like pre-canned.
Pre-mixed, pre-canned.
Yeah.
A lot bigger.
It's very similar to what the 12-year-old Kiwi kid was drinking, or the 8-year-old Kiwi kid. The really drunk one, remember?
I don't remember.
Were you
that.
Maybe? Oh, I think this may have been a Frotcast you were not a part of, but a few Frotcasts ago we played, there was like an 8-year-old New Zealand kid in a skate park where everyone was only riding Razor scooters, by the way. And he was shit-faced, and he had been drinking like this, like pre-made sort of. I don't remember what it was in that video, but like what this guy's drinking is this like pre-made Wild Turkey and cola canned beverage.
Much more popular in Europe and Australia, the pre-made cola and some sort of cola and booze. Where over here, I feel like it's mostly either beer or wine, or you make your own shit. Mm-hmm. And they have all sorts of stuff. I mean, in Germany, they have beer and soda, I think, mixed together. Like, weird combinations that don't even sound appealing. And they have all sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, I love the Australian accents, and I love the patience, as Brendan noticed. Get out of the car, mate. I don't think I will.
I mean, you guys are talking about like how beaten this guy would be in America, and I'm like, yeah, man, if I was a cop, I'd probably kick his ass too. Like,
can I see your license?
Would be up his ass.
Nah. Can I see your license? Nah. Well, we get out of the car then. Nah, blame from my mate. Okay, good, good enough.
I'll put the link on.
You've got an honest face, mate.
On broadcast.com. You got to see how fucked up the car is too. I mean, it, you know, it's not totaled, but it's it's undrivable. And the guy's sitting in the driver's seat, just chilling, waiting for his mate.
He just accepts no for an answer on the license thing too. He's like, "Can I see your license?" Nah. Like, right. What would you, like, if you said to an American cop, "Can I see your license?" You're like, "No." What would the next thing that happened?
Shot in the face.
They wouldn't even give you another question. What do you mean, no? That's not an acceptable answer.
No, yeah, you get shot in the face a couple times. And then at the end, and I lived in Australia for about 6 months. Granted, I didn't own a car and wasn't driving frequently, but
nah.
They ask him if he wants to go downtown, and I guess he could say no and not go. If we have any Australian listeners, please let me know how the rules work. Because
anyone who knows Australian street law.
Drink driving. Yeah, street law, drink driving. They call it drink driving, which I like. But anyone that knows that, please let me know. I was very confused. Did you get that, Brendan?
Yeah, the law seemed very convoluted. It seems like everything's opt-in.
Yeah.
Like, it's really amazing. Why don't you come down to the station with us? No, I'm all right.
I'm all right.
Wait for James.
Mate, James is going to come get me. I'm all right. But thank you for offering to take me down to the station. Yeah, no problem, mate.
Good on you, mate.
I got to move there. It sounds like the best place
I
know. Ever.
I think about that all the time. Like, I just need to move to Australia and become friends with, like, Neville fucking Bartos.
Their life seems so much happier than ours.
I know. They seem like they're just living right.
No worries at all. You want to come down to the station? Nah.
Well, literally no worries. That's like what they always say. Like, oh, yeah, no worries.
No worries,
mate. No worries, mate.
I had to ask the question if you wanted to come down and get arrested, but you don't. So fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
No worries, mate. Good on you.
All right. Wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you if you wanted to come down to the station. All right. You have a good night.
Yeah.
Say hello to James.
Also, James who? Like, what? James Franklin. Like, what was the right answer to that going to be?
Well,
Australia's a small country. So it's like, James?
Yeah.
Oh, the basis for Akadaka?
Oh, James, huh?
Stuff.
I know James.
He's not coming for you.
I know James. You're not friends with James.
He's at the chip shop.
I really enjoyed that. We've proven that Australian news significantly more entertaining than American news, especially when they do things like interview the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
What was the joke, Brendan? Can you recreate that for us?
It was the Dalai. What kind of pizza did the Dalai Lama order? One with everything.
And then he explained it.
The Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama orders a pizza. What kind of pizza?
One with everything.
Dalai Lama does no laughing, and then he explains it.
I like the guy who got all mad and stormed out and had like the total Fast Furious 6 car. And they're like, you've got a car like a Queenslander.
I didn't hear
that. Like, peels out of the parking lot.
Neither of you been to Australia?
I've never been.
I haven't been. My oldest brother was actually born there, but he left when he was like 3 or something.
Rode a kangaroo right across the ocean, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend it to both of you and any listeners out there. It's a wonderful country. It's gotten more expensive, unfortunately. Not that it was ever cheap, but...
Nah.
Good on ya. Not that it was ever cheap, but it's gone up a little bit. Well, Laramie, the other thing we discussed before we got you on was True Detective. Are you watching True Detective?
Nah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've heard it's really good. I'm sort of dowered out. I'm dowered out.
You and Vince should chat because he doesn't like it either. He claims to like it now. I think he's lying. Yeah. I think he's lying to appease the masses.
I do love Matt McConaughey, and I do love Woody. So, I mean, I am a demo. But, like, I think The Counselor really messed me up for life just seeing that movie.
I did not see that, and I heard it was very bad.
It was very bad. It was very depressing. And you just kind of, like, sit on the ground and hold yourself. And but I've heard True Detective is really good, right? Like,
have you not even it. You haven't even started it?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
No. Yeah.
Oh,
it's really fucking good.
Yeah, it's really good.
One thing I was going to ask, but we got sidetracked, is when this is all over, do you think it has the potential to like be up there with? Well, you're not a Breaking Bad fan, I am, but like up there with The Wire, shows like that.
I mean, it's going to be, it's good and bad to only have 8 episodes. In my opinion, where it does have this very concrete story arc, which is great, but it also, there's shows like Game of Thrones or The Wire that continue on and have a lot more, not that every episode or every season of The Wire or every episode of the Game of Thrones has been incredible, but it just has a lot more content. Mm-hmm. Where 8 episodes isn't, you know, it doesn't make it necessarily worse. So far, I have loved the 5 episodes as much as I've loved any show that has been on TV. Game of Thrones to me is probably my second favorite of that sort of miniseries type show. The Wire I only watched maybe a year or a year and a half ago, and I did really enjoy it, and I binge watched the fuck out of it. But man, there's something about True Detective that has really, I really enjoy, that gets me with my Matthew McConaughey love. So I don't see how it's, I mean, to me, unless it completely falls apart, it's right up there with anything. I don't really see how it's not.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the ones that is, because of the 8 episodes only, makes it a little more rewatchable. So maybe in 5 years, I go back and rewatch it, where I'm not going to ever rewatch every episode of Game of Thrones, for example, or I'm not going to rewatch all of The Wire ever. It's just too much of a time commitment where I already know what happens. I don't need to rewatch every beat, but where, I mean, Laramie, if you're a Matt McConaughey fan, he kills it.
Really?
Oh, brings the thunder.
Yeah. He's amazing.
I like that Matt McConaughey.
If you like that Matt McConaughey, and by the way, who doesn't? Laramie, do you know anyone that doesn't
communists.
Like? Yeah.
Communists.
Communists. That's it though, right?
Yeah. Former Soviet bloc employee.
I'd recommend that. What? All right. Well, Laramie, the other one that Brennan does not watch, House of Cards.
Oh, really? I would think that would be a Brendan special.
I am not opposed to it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, you can just Netflix that bitch, though. It's pretty easy.
Exactly. Turns out that's actually the only way to do it.
I'll Netflix it while you're playing Madden 25.
It's right there for you.
Are you a House of Cards man?
Yeah, I do enjoy House of Cards.
How far into season 2 are you?
I actually haven't started watching season 2. I may do it on a little trip here.
Oh, wow. So, are you just too much Madden?
No, I've just been delaying gratification like the kid with the Red Wings.
I already finished season 2. I couldn't. So I held out for about 2 days watching it, and then I couldn't stop. It was an avalanche. It just, episode after episode kept appearing on my TV, and I didn't turn it off.
Then you was out, huh?
Yeah.
Now you have no more left.
Yep, that's it. And now I wait another 18 months for season 3 to come out.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it is odd. I mean, I like that they release it all at once for my own, because there's no way for myself to stop watching them, so it would probably be ideal if they released about 3 a week and then they spread that out, and then I could spread out my watching of it. Otherwise, I just think they're already there. What's the difference if I wait to watch them? I want to know what happens, so I might as well just watch them all.
Yeah, why not?
Well, so I banged out season 2. I think you'll enjoy it. There are a lot of twists and turns. Lots of spoilers.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, it feels like the
guys.
Kind of thing you just watch back to back.
Yeah, as you watch them, they do, the spoilers come out. You figure out what you,
as works with most TV shows.
Not all, but most. As you continue to watch them, you figure out what the spoilers are.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which it changes when they put them all out online. I mean, all at the same time.
Right.
Because you can spoil.
That's how that works.
Yeah, you can spoil quicker.
That's how that works.
Well, we lost Brett a little bit earlier, unfortunately. The connection wasn't ideal.
We lost him to the consumption.
Well, lost him to the internet. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll let Brendan finish it out, but apologize for any sort of technical difficulties that we had. The internet, man, sometimes it just doesn't cooperate. What's the deal?
We're like a third world country when it comes to internet.
What's the deal with the internet, Laramie?
It's spotty, isn't it?
Didn't Jerry Seinfeld actually do a set where he's like, what's the deal with the internet? Like, I think I saw somebody tweet something about it.
Was he talking specifically about upload and download speed, or was it more the internet as a concept?
No, I think like internet culture.
Okay. Yeah. It'd be funny if he was talking about internet speed.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's like, what's up with the internet? Why can't it be faster?
Right.
Should be.
Someone sent me Louis C.K.'s clip of the Cinnabon, which it made me realize how brilliant Louis C.K. is, where he's got so many amazing bits in a 60-minute stand-up special that, like, there can be a 4-minute clip that you watch that you've seen that special, and you're watching that 4-minute clip, and you know you've seen it because you recognize like the backdrop and his outfit, and you don't even remember hearing these jokes, and you're like dying laughing. And this whole thing about the Cinnabon was just amazing.
I don't remember that.
I like the but maybe. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that is amazing.
But maybe.
I was not a huge fan of his because I think the first exposure I had to him was some of his earlier TV shows, like Louie on HBO. And
I thought it was funny.
I didn't like that show.
Your early exposure to him was he directed Pootie Tang.
That was a bad movie.
I actually like how stupid Pootie Tang is, but yeah, it's my own personal preference.
Chappelle's in there.
I wouldn't hold it against anyone if they said they did not like Pootie Tang. I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. I'm probably an idiot who likes it.
Well, I'm not someone that aggressively defends things like people on the internet seem to do.
Sure.
Or people that you work with, for example, that aggressively defend Homeland and tell you to watch another 10 to 20 hours of it for you to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. I do, and it makes me happy. Pootie Tang. So that's, you're not going to have your flag in the ground over that one.
I'm not planting my flag in Pootie Tang, though I did enjoy it. It made me laugh. Dirty D still dirty because he's Dirty D, damn it.
Man, you have a better callback to random quotes than pretty much anyone I know.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Laramie, anything to plug before we get out of here?
No. I mean, I'm planning on writing about my trip over the next 10 days, so that could be interesting. But, you know, if it's not, whatever.
Laramie's going on a U.S. destroyer and then going to Mardi Gras, where they're going to destroy Mardi Gras, right? Huh? Huh?
Beat that.
So you're going to drive the destroyer down Bourbon Street.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Should be good.
Well, have a wonderful trip. When do you leave?
I leave tomorrow morning.
I honestly can't believe you're not bringing the PS3. There's going to be four other disappointed human owners and another 24, 25 disappointed computer owners.
So does that hold up your league that you can't play in those games?
I think they're going to have to sim me.
Ooh.
Oh, no. You're getting simmed?
The indignity.
It's a fate worse than death, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. My God. He's getting simmed.
Yep.
Everyone pray for Laramie's sim as his sim plays the games for him. Wouldn't it be awesome?
It sort of takes out the sting from the whole thing, you know?
I think it'd be awesome if Laramie's sim was significantly better than him at Madden.
Oh, dude. So the team I left, the Seahawks, beat a human team, the Ghost Seahawks. Somehow. So it's me. It's me who's holding the teams back.
So you'll come back and you missed, you know, eight games, half a season, and you're 8-0 in those games.
Yep. And then I'll come back and fail. Yeah. Don't judge me.
Inevitable.
London Monarchs.
All right. Well, Laramie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Everybody out there in Frogcast land, thanks for listening once again. Shoot us some emails, frogcast@gmail.com. We love your fanfic. Send out the fanfic if you got it. And until next week, good night and good chins.